We'll get right into the Word of God today. Well, if you'll turn with me to the book of John, chapter 17. Book of John, chapter 17. As we're going to talk about the greatest hour. There's probably been hours in your life that you thought were great. And I have been in hours I thought were great. I've been in hours I didn't think were too great. Amen. But we want to talk about the greatest hour there's ever been. And we want to read about it in Scripture here in the book of John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer that he prays for his disciples. He prays for people that will believe on the word the disciples preach and the prayer for his followers afterwards. We're going to concentrate on the first five verses today, so let's read it together. John 17, 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Father, thank you for your word this day. I pray that your Holy Spirit anoint your servants to speak the truth of your word. Challenge your heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This was the greatest hour that there's ever been in humanity. And there's been great things happen all over the earth, great celebrations of victory over wars, great celebrations of people who have excelled in this, that, and the other sports and other arenas. But has there ever been an hour or time in your life that you've dreaded? I know the answer to that before you raise your hand or say amen. Like admitting to your parents something you did and feared what the punishment would be. Punishment you'd be in, put in time out. I never did get put in time out. I just prayed for the time when they'd quit spanking me. Okay. I know you think I need another one. That's too late. But I would like to talk about an hour in the life of a Vietnam veteran named Dave Reaver. You may be familiar with him, hopefully, somewhere or another. He's a Vietnam veteran. I had the privilege when I was in college. I traveled with a singing group, and we were in a Tennessee youth camp for three different camps. And he was the speaker of all three, and so he preached and we sang. And so I got to know him a little bit. Man, he's a comical kind of a guy, but he was damaged severely in the fact that he was wounded in the war. And I remember him telling the story. He said, I was going to be drafted into the Army, he said, but I didn't think that was a good idea, so I volunteered for the Navy. And I thought, well, battleships don't go into the jungle, so I'll just join the Navy and I'll be free from all that. Well, his ship went into a Vietnamese territory. This was when there were enemies. And he threw back his hand to throw a grenade to clear some bushes out that they were going to go into. And while his hand was drawn back, a sniper's bullet hit the phosphorus grenade that was in his hand. It exploded, blew half of his face off, and damaged him severely, and thought surely there would be no way of survival for him. But he did survive. And so he would tell that. He would tell that in a comical way because he said it hurt too bad to tell it in any other way. And so he went into Vietnam, and there in just one of the cities in Vietnam, and he was standing by six military soldiers that were with him, and he was backed off just a little ways from them. And as he was standing there, a North Vietnamese drove by on a motorcycle, put a grenade up his mouth, and pulled the pin out with his teeth, and dropped it in front of six American soldier boys. And he said, "I saw them hurt and kicked to death in their own blood." He said, "I wasn't a violent man. I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to go to war or anything." But he said, "When that happened, immediately I was ready to fight." And he did. And he served the country. And yes, he almost died in it, but he didn't. And he served well. And so that hour changed everything for him. It changed the way he felt about his service to his country. He was no longer wanting to try to stay away from the fight, but he felt like standing up and fighting for freedom, which he did, and we have freedom today. Now, I don't say this in any kind of cutting way against other people. Other times we have missionaries in Vietnam now. There's a strong church in Vietnam now. Thank God for that. There's missionaries there. Marie Watson serves, one of our missionaries we've supported for many years. She serves there in that country, and they have a church, and they have the work of God, the will of God, and that's good. Amen. So I thank God for what God has done all over the world. But mainly there's an hour that changed everything, greater than any hour that's ever been known in wars or whatever. And that's the hour that Jesus laid down his life to redeem humanity from sin. The hour that God himself opened the door of redemption for sinful, fallen humanity. The greatest door ever opened and the greatest hour there's ever been. And Jesus, throughout his ministry, when things of threat would come to him in his ministry and this earth, he would say, "My hour has not yet come." But here in John 17, he looks to his Father in heaven and says, "Father, the hour has come." Speaking of the hour when he would pay with his own life for my sins and yours. And so he reviews what he had done. He had finished his earthly ministry. Jesus had. He performed signs and wonders and miracles among many people. And we know that he had done powerful things, and God allowed him, his Father allowed him to do wonderful things, work miracles, heal the sick, raise the dead at times, amen, heal all kinds of sickness and diseases and things and leprosies and things that there was no human cure for. And through his death, he could offer eternal life to all who would believe. And now in the chapter that we read, he prays to his Father. He prays to be glorified. His death, resurrection, would glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the way to eternal life, deliverance from the fear of death and hell, would be provided. And so he had come to this hour in his life. And he had some words to say about that hour. John 12, 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 27, now my soul is troubled." This is Jesus speaking. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." Jesus was saying here, the reason I came to this time is because of you. I came to this hour to give my life for you. I came to this hour to offer myself up as a sacrifice and atonement for sin. I came to this hour because I cared about you. I came to this hour because I love you. He said, this is the reason this hour has ever come. And so we know that Jesus came to this hour, the greatest hour ever. And the reason for this hour was to fulfill atonement for mankind. He prayed in view that the cross was just ahead. And Jesus' life, could say emotionally, was not a pleasant thing. Yes, he was a pleasant person, a powerful person. You have so kindness and love and kindness to everybody that came along, and he did. But all his life he knew in the end what would happen, that he would die for the sins of the world. And the reason he'd come to this hour is to fulfill the atonement for mankind. He prayed in view of the cross that was just ahead, not a wonderful thing to look forward to. And so he prayed. He prayed for you. And Jesus was not again instructed to give instruction to the military or to the multitude. He was not again to heal the sick before he should lay down his life. He guarded himself for this special occasion of intercession. He poured out his soul in life before he poured it out in death. And we look at Jesus in this very time, and we don't understand. So often we understand this prayer was as though it were rather gloomy. When you're fixing to die, it doesn't make you want to jump up and down and shout. But it is uttered by one who had just affirmed that he had overcome the world. Jesus never sinned. The only one who ever lived a perfect, sinless life to fulfill the righteousness of the law is the only one that ever did. And the only way that you and I can be made righteousness is to accept his covering of righteousness over us by faith. And no other hour in humanity could equal this hour. For without this hour, there would be no hope for lost humanity. If he hadn't come to this hour, there would be no heaven prepared for you. If he hadn't come for this hour, he wouldn't be delivered from sickness and pain and sorrow and death. But he came to this hour because he cared for humanity, because he loved you. And he prays, Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour, this purpose, I have come to this hour. Okay? And so he would carry the burden of sin for us, and that would be a heavy burden. Can you imagine? Have you ever felt, I know you have, you felt guilty about things you did? You say, well, I might not feel too guilty because I didn't get caught. But there's somebody that sees everything, and God sees everything from beginning to end of our lives. He knows what you're guilty of. He knows if your repentance is sincere or not. He knows if you care if you're concerned about your soul or not. He knows how you feel. He knows us better than we know ourselves because he created us. He knows us. Man. And so it would be a heavy hour that he would face. In Isaiah 53, that's one of the best, is a great scripture that prophesies of the death and the dying of Jesus 700 years before he died. Perfect prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, it says of Jesus, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we have gone astray. That means you and I. All we have gone astray. Like sheep, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Whatever thing you've ever done that you felt guilty about or shame about that you don't want anybody else to know about, Jesus bore that on the cross. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all, a heavy load, a powerful load that nobody else could bear. It took the Son of God to bear our sins. It took somebody stronger than you, stronger than me. There's things in our lives we don't want to think about. We don't want to relive the guilt and shame that it causes. There's decisions we've made in our life that we wish we hadn't have made. If we had it to do over, it made different decisions, but you don't have life to do over. But we've got somebody that cares and knows and understands. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He cares where you spend forever. And he laid down his life and he gave everything that hour. He gave the greatest hour ever that day. He would atone for my sin and yours because he cared. Man, a heavy load. The greatest hour would be a sacred hour. This was the most sacred hour ever spent. How could God the Father look at his Son bearing the sins of the whole world? He would have a moment in time, have to look away from his Son and Jesus would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because his son had never sinned, yet he bore the shame and the guilt of every sin that was ever committed. And that's the reason God can forgive sins and Jesus can pardon our sins, because he never sinned. So it was a sacred hour. Jesus had preached, he had healed the sick, he had cast out demons, he had raised the dead. He had done many mighty works. There was nothing that he come into contact with that he didn't have the authority over. He had authority over all things, still does. And his preaching work had ended. He was through preaching. And the only remaining thing for him to do was to die. But willingly, patiently, lovingly, and kindly, he submitted himself to the most vicious, cruel beatings that could ever be given to a human, and crucifixion by having nails driven through the spikes of his hands and his feet and a spear piercing his side, as he would atone for our sins with his own blood. It took the blood of a perfect, sinless sacrifice, Jesus, to atone for sins and make forgiveness possible for us. Yet he did so because he loved you and he loved me. And none of us are deserving of that, but Jesus gave because he loved and because he cared. Prayers has often been prayed when people face difficulties. When loved ones are in military conflict, we pray for them. God protect them, keep them, and don't let anything bad happen to them. But they're in military conflict, and we know that the worst thing that a wife wants to hear is a knock at the door by a military official telling her that her son didn't make it in the war. But prayers are often prayed when people face difficulties. When someone is suffering or near death, people pray. People call out to God. Many times too late, but they call out to God. And it's the right thing to do. When you're in trouble, call out to God. Because if God can't handle it, it can't be handled. But I can tell you, he can handle anything and everything, and always has been able. So don't say prayer just for people in Jesus' time. Prayer is for you now, today, to get right with God, to be right with God if you're not. And so God still does miracles and powerful things. Years ago, my granny, as we called her, had been sick in the hospital for some time, and it was that time when the family was called in, because this was it, you know. She was going to die. And so the family came in and we prayed. Yes, we prayed for her. And the doctor took her off of all meds that she was on, all medications she was on. You know, and she lasted another day or so and began to get better. Finally, with no medication of any kind, she got well. And she'd live 5 more years. God still does miracles. I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just saying that's the way God worked in that situation. And people prayed. But there was hope, because there's always hope in Christ. But Jesus came to that hour, and it would be a sacred hour, because it would mean the salvation of our souls. If Jesus didn't do this, we couldn't have eternal life. We couldn't be forgiven. We couldn't be pardoned for anything. But I don't want to tell you today that because Jesus shed his blood and paid the price, he can save and forgive the deepest and darkest sins that you can imagine. And he's saved and he brought people to eternal life. And he saved people that you and I would never save. But Jesus cares for everybody the same. And God still saves the lost. And God is still compassionate and kind, and he still loves and cares for everyone, including you and me. In the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, there were 3 Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were Babylonian names given to them. But they faced a fiery furnace, and they were told by the king, if you don't bow down and pray to me, basically,
When the trumpet sounds and the people start the music, if you don't bow down and worship me, I'm going to throw you immediately in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will be able to deliver you from that? But the Hebrew children answered the king in this manner and said, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your gods, nor serve you, nor worship you. And he immediately ordered them to be thrown into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter. And the people that threw them in, it was so hot that it caused the death of them. And we know that the three Hebrew children in their fiery furnace, bound in their coats and their clothes and everything. And in a minute, the king looked in and he saw, I thought we just threw three people in there. But he said, I see four. And they're alive and walking around. They should have been burned up. They should have been fried by now. Pardon the expression. But anyway, they were gone. And the king looked in and says, tell those three guys to come out. They came out. And they weren't harmed in any way. And even the smell of smoke wasn't on them. Because you see, in the hour when you need God, God is not absent. And I can tell you of other times when people have called out to God and God didn't answer in the way they wanted him to answer. And people have died calling on God. But that's not a bad thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People can call out to God in the last hour and God will save. The thief on the cross, he had no time to redo things. He had no time to go repent and ask for forgiveness for all the people he had robbed and stolen from. He was a thief. But he said, Jesus, would you somehow just remember me when you come in your kingdom? And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. God can forgive the deepest and the darkest sins, and God can wash people white as snow, and everyone that ends heaven is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and have been saved from sin. And so it's a wonderful thing that God can do and does do. And so let's look at this. This not only was a sacred hour, but it was an hour prepared for. Reviewed in his hour in Gethsemane, where Jesus had suffered as he prayed and called out to God, Father in heaven, if it's your will, let this cup of suffering and death be taken from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because Jesus knew without his shedding his blood on Calvary, there could be no other payment for sin. People would die for their own sins. People would be eternally separated from the love and the mercy of God forever in the devil's hell. Matthew 26:39, he says, he went a little further and fell on his face. This is Jesus. And he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You've been times in your life and you say, Father, I don't want to go through this. Could you please just let me escape this? Let me get out of here. Let me be out of the way. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. But God, this is going to happen whether I like it or not. Lord, would you please help me? And he is a present help in time to those that are in need. And so God knows what we face. He knows what we will face. He knows everything about us and he cares for us. And Jesus, his faith, thinks, this is the hour that I've come to the world for. This is like the midnight of Gethsemane. He knows that the next morning he would be scourging. He would be beaten senselessly by Romans with a whip that would take off body parts, and many people that were crucified never survived the beating because their vital organs fell out from the beating. He knew the scourging lay ahead. He knew the day of crucifixion was coming. He knew that this was the hour that mattered for all the world, that mattered for me, that mattered for you. In the sacred record, however, Much more space is taken by our Lord's intercession here as he nears the end of his labors. He had prayed with the disciples at the Last Supper, knowing it would be his last. His public preaching work was being ended, and nothing remained but to die. And he gave himself wholly and fully unto prayer. You have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Jesus knew why he was going to die. And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God. And under the Roman Empire, there were many gods. They worshipped everything and anything. But they didn't know the true God. But Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. There's only one true God. And people make gods out of everything. People worship things that never amount to anything, but there's really only one true God. And Jesus, whom you have sent. And he says, I have glorified you. Jesus says, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I've done what you called me to do. And then he says, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Not only did Jesus come to this world, he didn't say, well, it's a pretty good old place at times. No, he had been in the sinless heaven forever with his Father. He never began, he never started anywhere except in humanity. But he said, Father, I've finished. I've done what you called me to do. I've finished the work that you've called me to do. And Lord, I'm really ready to finish it up, to lay down my life. In the end, nothing else matters but what you've done with God. And you may be here this morning and say, well, I've never really surrendered my heart to God. It's not too late. Jesus finished the work so that anybody today could be saved, be forgiven of their sins, and have eternal life instead. Because nothing else matters in the end. We're all going to walk through this valley of the shadow of death sometime, all of us. It's appointed when a man wants to die, and after death, the judgment. We're going to face God, and we're going to face death. Every one of us will. It may not be a pleasant thing to think about. It's not. But if you know Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you the best is yet ahead. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, and you've mocked God and the things of the Spirit, and you've mocked the Bible, my friend, an eternal hell is where there's nothing but suffering and payment for sin. You don't want to go there. You want to go to heaven. And so Jesus willingly and patiently poured out his soul unto death. In the book of Psalms 23, which we know pretty well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We're all going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. But if you've got Jesus, you can walk through it in peace, knowing things are right between you and God. And you'll be ready. And you say, well, Pastor, you need to preach something different. This is not a funeral. No, it's not. But it's a certain thing that it will happen to all of us. But Jesus, it was an hour of victory because he had overcome the world. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And we know that Jesus overcame. Yes, he died, but he rose again on the third day. He's seated right now beside his heavenly Father, and he ever lives to intercede and to pray for you. And so we need to pray for him, or pray for ourselves. He don't need prayer. And this is an hour we must all be prepared for. I remember my Granddad Jack, that was his name. He was prepared to meet God. And he had had an
out-of-the-body experience with God, and I know a lot of those things were made up, but this one was not with Granddad Jack. He always spoke the truth. But he was in the hospital, and he had heart problems, and he was going to die because of heart problems, and the doctor suggested that he take a walk every day, and he did. He walked down the road, and neighbors would stop by in their car, dirt road, and talk to him. Instead of walking, he'd talk to the neighbors. He didn't get much exercise. But somewhere along the line, he had an out-of-the-body experience, and he said, death is nothing to be feared of, be afraid of. And so in his dying hour, he was in the hospital, and he was going to die. And he told Grandma, he said, you've been a good wife, so we've had a good life together. We've farmed together. We've made it well, and we've raised children, and we've done that. But it's time for me to go, and I'm going to leave you. I don't want to leave you, but I've got to. And he rolled over in the bed and died immediately, and that was the end. And he went to be with his Lord immediately. You say, well, that's the way I want to die. Everybody does. But we don't choose the way. We just know it's going to happen, whatever way has. But we've got an hour to prepare. In the book of Amos, it says, God speaks to the prophet, says, prepare to meet your God. And so we got to prepare to meet our God. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not prepared. I'm fearful to die the way I am. I don't want to die like I am. I want to be right with God. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want to have peace in my heart. And I know the life I lived is not the life that God wants me to live, but I want to change, and He can change you immediately. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He will have mercy. He will restore you. He will heal you. He will forgive your sins. He will wipe your slate clean and make your life clean before God. You'll be ready to meet God in a moment.